Listen to Mark and Neanderthal when you get to work.
Sure they're illegal.
With the free KSLX app. 100.7 KSLX.
Last night at the Emmy Awards, there were a lot of winners who were absolutely thrilled to be named, you know, the best this or the best that or whatever in the world of television.
Yeah, because acting is a competition.
Yes, and it's very, very wonderful that all those people won. But those awards do not compare.
No.
To the award that we are about to bestow.
Mark and Neanderthal present the DeBrickishop Ferguson Barkevious Bingo Award for the best NFL name of the week.
Yeah, we do this during the season, every Monday after the season. Usually it's Mark likes to use an opponent of the Cardinals.
Yeah.
Somebody from the opponent's roster. I just pick out what I think is the best name of the week, and we bestow upon them the glory that is the DeBrickishop Ferguson Barkevious Mingo Award. Those are both real names of real players that play in the NFL.
Yes. In fact, Barkevious Mingo is on the Indianapolis Colts.
Yes, he played yesterday.
You might have seen him. But since he is sort of the namesake of the feature.
Yeah, he's in the Hall of Fame already.
Exactly. He's disqualified now. So I was thinking about possibly Indianapolis Colts third-year wide receiver Quan Bray. But I was like, you know, not enough syllables.
Right. And it sounds like it could just be his first name.
Yes.
Quan Bray.
Instead, I went for Indianapolis Colts rookie punter Rigoberto Sanchez.
Rigoberto, huh?
Rigoberto Sanchez.
Sounds like something you're having for lunch.
I'll have
the Rigoberto Sanchez, please.
Or a place you go for lunch.
Yes, absolutely.
Did you hear Sheriff Joe raided the kitchen at Rigoberto's?
Yes, exactly. Very well could have been. All right, I went with, it's always fun to watch the Dallas Cowboys lose, and because of the lightning delay yesterday.
I didn't even know that. Did they lose?
Yes. Outstanding.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, they get their asses handed to them by the Denver Broncos in Denver. And the game was delayed by a couple of lightning storms, so we got plenty of opportunity to see Vedante Charlton. You know him as Taco.
Oh, Taco Charlton.
Who we talked about last year as possibly being a potential future winner of this award. Took him 2 weeks to do it.
Yeah.
Taco Charlton, defensive end of the Dallas Cowboys, who lost yesterday. You are my winner for the DeBrickishop Ferguson Barkevious Mingo Award of the Week.
All right. Good stuff. So we got to pay tribute to Mr. Bobby the Brain Heenan.
Let me just say this about this before we get into this. Wrestling today sucks. Because
it does.
Because outside of Paul Heyman, there isn't a character to be had. And one of the things that's great, and Mark and I are admitted wrestling geeks, and there are, trust me, there are more of us than we'll admit to, but we're admitted wrestling geeks, and one of the things that we loved about wrestling was the characters in wrestling, the character development. It's almost like everything in life. Back then, there seemed to be more attention being paid to getting you invested into the well-being of the character.
Everybody was a little bit more unique back then.
Right. Well, they had to be because you didn't have – they weren't as athletic as they are now. Let's just say this. Yeah. Wrestling now is far more exciting than it was back then because
– in some ways.
Because people are bigger and stronger and faster and more athletic and there's more special effects and all that stuff. So back then, the way to get you invested in it is you had to either love the character – or hate the character.
That's what Bobby the Brain Heenan was. He was the guy you hated. You loved to see him get bounced around and beat up.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people know the name Bobby the Brain Heenan because he became kind of a mainstream celebrity in the kind of in the mid-80s there.
Yeah, and the villain sells the story. That's kind of how that works. Everybody, when you talk about a great movie or a great story or a great comic book or any of that stuff, it's always the bad guy, the antagonist. That's the guy that has to make things move. And Bobby Heenan might have been one of the greatest of all time at that.
So let's play a little clip of Bobby the Brain Heenan being interviewed by Mean Gene Okerlund.
Bobby Heenan, that is a very good-looking sport coat you've got on.
Yeah, and I paid for mine. Mine is a government issue.
Oh, completely.
Go ahead, interview me now. That's your job out here.
Bobby
People
Heenan.
Like to know a little bit about me.
Yes.
You're the kind of a guy that just keeps talking, don't let anybody else get a word in. Now interview me while I can get my interview done here.
I'd like to.
And don't waste any time talking about other little things that are trivial. Talk to me right now. Go ahead. Come on.
Bobby.
You know, I got a lot to say. I'm not the kind of a guy that stands around here. You bring Vern Gagne out here, the world's heavyweight champ.
I love that stuff. Yeah, no, he just cut him off. He had great timing.
Yes.
Here's a story I just heard, and I can't say the word.
Right.
But I was listening to a podcast, and this guy told the story of being out to dinner with Bobby the Brain Heenan.
Okay.
Waitress comes up to the table, and Bobby says, "Oh, excuse me, waitress, can I smell your..."
Oh, boy.
And he uses the P word.
Right. Yeah.
He goes, "Can I smell your P?" And she goes, "Of course not." He goes, "Oh, it must be your feet."
Yep, so, must be your feet, yeah.
I know it's an old joke, but I don't recommend you use that on all waitresses.
But when Bobby does it, it's endearing.
Right.
and he's dead now.
He's the kind of character who got me so into wrestling because, you know, you'd see him get his his head kicked in, basically.
Yeah, he got thrown because he wasn't exactly the most athletic looking guy in the world. He looked like a guy that would be behind the desk at an insurance agent.
Yeah.
A little bit on the pudgy side, a little dumpy, not at all threatening physically.
He was the wise guy manager, so occasionally he'd get thrown around and beat up, and you'd see that happen, and then 10 minutes later he comes on challenging the same guy. I saw that when I was a kid. I was like, well, that's not what you do. You avoid that guy now. Once he thumped you, you're like, okay, I've proven that guy can kick my ass.
I'm gonna
stay away from him now. I'm not gonna challenge him again.
You know, Bobby Heaton would call you right now. So Bobby Heenan would call you a coward.
And he'd also call me a 9-to-5 ham and egger.
Ham and egger, yeah.
And a cretinous humanoid.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, and here's the thing that we were talking about behind the scenes. I don't know that, I think, because we're here in the Valley, we probably got a chance to check out some AWA wrestling when we were kids.
Yeah.
He did this thing. There was this thing. For whatever reason, he got put into a weasel suit. When he was in one of the things, it was a wrestling angle. They do cage matches and stuff like that, but they did this thing called the weasel match, where the loser of the match, their manager had to get zipped up into this weasel suit.
Yes.
So in essence, he was in a onesie. They put him in like a pink onesie or a yellow onesie that they had to put him in, and he became Bobby the Weasel Heenan for a long time.
Right.
So when he was in WWE, you heard people chant weasel, and nobody really knew what it was because they never explained it.
Yeah.
But that's what it was. For his essence, his claim to fame before he went to WWE was he was zipped up in a onesie as an adult.
Yes.
That was how he was dehumanized.
He was willing to be humiliated. He had a long career before WWE.
So he was fantastic.
He was great. He died at 73. He's been sick for a long time, actually.
Yeah, this was actually one of those, it was almost euthanasia. It was better that he passed than to live in the pain that he was suffering. So
yeah.
On the one hand, it's a tragic loss. On the other hand, it's probably good relief for him.
100.7 KSLX.
Mark, I hate to do this to you, but I'm not sure this guy's going to make it through the rest of the show. So, what do you need?
Identify the record.
Oh, for the 30-second song challenge?
Yeah.
No, not yet. We'll do that right around 7:30 or so.
Okay.
All right. I hope you'll still be conscious.
So know that at 7:30
Monday, 7:11 a.m.
you're going to be competing against that guy. And that's for $800, by the way. So the 30-second song challenge is coming up.
There you go.
He might have just had a rough weekend. Who knows?
Yes, he's got a case of the Mondays.
We had another wedding we had to go to back east this weekend.
Yeah, you're like a social butterfly, you motorboating son of a bitch.
Relatives getting married.
Okay.
That was the name of that game.
That's the beauty of not having any family right here. Cheaper for me.
It was actually a great wedding. But the travel is the
always
pain in the
neck, a pain
part.
In the ass. I get that.
But it's funny. We're all gathered to start walking over to the wedding area, and it was a little warm, so I took my suit jacket off, and I realized that I had picked it up during the week dry cleaning from the dry cleaners. I realized I still had a little blue tag on the inside of the neck. And I'm like, oh, my God.
What's up, Mini Pearl?
Yeah, I still have the dry cleaning tag on here. And I tear it off, and my niece goes, what is this, amateur hour? And I was like, yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Me
in a suit, that's the definition of amateur hour. My son does the tie for me.
Oh, does he really?
He ties it around his neck and then, loosens it, takes it over his head, and I put it on that way. I can do a tie
knot. You don't know
knot,
how to tie a tie knot?
I do, but it sucks.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Like, he can do a nice one. But yeah, it's
full on Windsor knot.
I don't know what it is, but I'm such an amateur with suits and stuff like that that, like, I never go to a dry cleaners. When I do, I still get a kick out of the carousel at the dry cleaner. I still think it looks like a cool ride at Disneyland.
Why do you think I got into this in 1986? I got into this. When I was a senior in high school, and I thought to myself, okay, what can I do? Where it's almost like the movie Say Anything, where John Cusack is like, I don't want to buy anything bought or sold. I don't want to sell anything. I was like, what can I do that could be the most lazy job on the face of the earth where I don't have to wear a suit and yet can be paid enough to make my rent?
Yeah.
Radio sounds good.
Yeah. No, that's – I mean, for me, it was a question of – that was a goal of mine. And I kid you not. How do I make a living without having to wear a suit every day?
Yeah.
Especially growing up back east. Like, here it's not so common. You don't see the heavy suits
like you
do back east. But back east, that's a typical way that you go to work. Suit and tie.
Yeah. A suit and tie guy or construction guy. That was the only two things you could do.
Yeah.
Or a cop where you had to wear a suit.
That is a suit.
Yeah. It's absolutely a uniform. So, I don't want to have to wear a uniform. Look at me. I mean, I'll be 50 next April, right? I have a 3-foot ponytail. I'm wearing a baseball cap backwards, and I'm wearing the Jeff Spicoli black and white checkered Van shoes.
Yeah,
and I'm considered a professional, more or less.
Yeah, and this is not Casual Friday either.
No, this is how we dress every day. Right. I think I'm wearing a Pepsi T-shirt. I'm wearing a T-shirt. You're wearing a T-shirt.
I'm wearing a Sun Devil shirt.
Yeah. I mean, that's what we do every day. That's how we come to work. So we win, I think.
I think so. I mean,
I think.
For me, it was you know, I didn't want to get dressed up every day, and this was a nice way to do it.
That was one of the only negatives of working at the other place. Well, there were many negatives of working at the other place, but... I was the program director, so on occasion, you know, when somebody would come in, you know, from the company, from the corporate owners, you had to dress up and wear a suit or something like that. And imagine me in a suit with the ponytail. I look like Penn Jillette, a combination of Penn Jillette or a mobster from The Sopranos. That's what I look like. Imagine Ernest Borgnine in a suit.
Right,
that's me.
Right, Ernest Borgnine with long hair
in a suit.
In a suit.
Yeah. So we win in that scenario, I think.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you this. We couldn't do it if you weren't listening right
now. Right, exactly.
So thank you very, very much.
Think you can name these tunes? It's Mark and Neanderthals 30-Second Song Challenge!
7 songs in 30 seconds. It works like this. You got to guess the titles of the 7 songs we play. The timer starts when the first song's played. When you know the song title, yell it out. The timer stops if you're correct and we get ready for the next song. The timer keeps rolling till you get it right or the 30 seconds is up.
All right, let's welcome Louie to the program. Good morning, Louie. How are you?
Good morning, guys.
All right, $800 in the kitty. Do you like kitty?
No pressure.
No pressure at all, Louie. Have you played the game before?
I have.
All right, how do you do?
I bombed.
Okay.
I'm out for redemption.
All right, Louie, we'll get you back here. We'll see if you can redeem yourself. Now, do you have us on speakerphone? It sounds like you might have some assistance there.
No, I have you on speakerphone, but I can take you off.
All right, no. We just want to make sure. I just want to make sure you're playing the game fairly. That's all we're looking for is fair play here.
I am.
All right, is your 30-second song challenge, which begins in 3, 2, 1, go.
Magic Man.
There you go. Correct. Sorry about that. And song number 2?
Drug Dress Man.
Correct. Song number 3.
Ballroom Blitz.
Correct. All right. So obviously, here's what happened. I'm fairly certain that Louie was listening to Pete Cummings on Friday afternoon at 4 o'clock.
Yeah, I was tuned in Friday.
There you go. See, so now Louie has taken advantage of something we like to call the 30-second song challenge cheat sheet. Every weekday afternoon at 4 o'clock, Pete Cummings plays 3 songs right out of the 4 o'clock hour. Those are the first 3 songs that we're going to use in your 30-second song challenge. Now that you've got those out of the way, how much time has he used?
He's only used just shy of 10 seconds.
All right, just shy of 10 seconds. So you've got about 20 seconds or so. Yeah. To get 4 songs. Think you can do it, Louie?
I feel good.
Song number 4 and go.
Satisfaction.
Correct.
That's an easy one.
Song number 5 and go.
Ocean.
Correct.
Ooh, the ocean. Nice job.
Nice job, Louie. Song number 6 and go.
Bad Bottom Girl.
Correct. Okay. All right. So now we've gone through 6 songs. We have 1 song left. We have Louie here. He's looking at potentially $800 if he wins the 30-second song challenge. How much time does he have left?
He has just over 10 seconds, 10.008 seconds.
It's looking good.
It is looking good, Louie, because I think song number 7 is a gimme. Are you prepared?
I hope you're right.
Are you prepared, Louie? You think you can get it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I could use the money.
You have 10 seconds to get song number 7 and go.
Oh, I know it's Journey.
Oh, no.
That's it?
Mm-hmm. Oh,
my God.
Oh, my God.
Louie. What the hell happened?
Oh, God. Another brain fart on the last song.
Louie, that was Don't Stop Believing. How did you not know that?
Oh, damn.
You know, they played that song at the wedding reception I was at this weekend, and a bunch of 25-year-olds were singing along with it. Everybody knows that, Louie.
Well, everybody but Louie knows that.
Louie. Oh, Louie.
So close.
I would like to quote, what's the band? Louie.
Louie.
Oh, Kingsman. Yeah, I know that one.
Louie.
Actually, we're doing the stories.
Yeah, the stories the other one,
Oh, right. Yeah, 2 versions. I was thinking of the more popular Kingsman.
Yeah, the Kingsman version, yeah.
What would you have done with the money, Louie?
God, I'm going to...
Screwed by Journey again.
What would you have done with the money?
Oh, I probably would have paid down some bills because I just got back from hernia surgery.
Oh, which kind of hernia?
The umbilical.
Oh, right. So that's like you said, somebody was blowing a bubble out of your belly button.
Pretty much.
That's sexy.
It's So this, amazing.
It's this, a party trick.
This is your second recent kick in the balls. Then.
Yeah.
All right, Louis.
You
well,
got that right.
Congratulations. I think you were so close and yet so far away.
Mondays are bad enough, but this one's truly going to suck.
Yep, it certainly is. And it's only going to get worse from here when everybody starts clowning you at work today, Louis.
Take care, Louis.
Almighty, man. I hate that song.
Yep, there you go.
Oh, brother.
Poor Louis.
We got the dumbass of the day coming up.
Jesus. How close can you get without winning?
$900 tomorrow for the 30-second song challenge.
All right, your dumbass of the day is on the way.
How did he miss that?
Oh.
100.7 KSLX. Oh, sorry about that. We were just answering the phones.
The abuse.
A lot of calls coming in
here.
Sure
they are.
Hey, I'm guessing your dumbass of the day has got to be Louis, right?
That was tough. We thought that was a gimme.
Can you believe it?
No, listen, you know what's crazy? Honestly, if you say to anyone on this planet, if you say you're going to play this game, you're going to have all six songs right, you're going to have 10 seconds left, and Don't Stop Believing is going to be your song.
It's
anyone in the world would say, oh my God, I'll nail that. Are you kidding me?
Yep.
That guy should be banned from that show forever. That was unbelievable.
It was... It was heart-wrenching and yet brilliant at the same time.
When you say it's unbelievable, that means you've already stopped believing.
I'll tell you, honestly, I don't understand how a guy like Louis has gotten through and played this game twice. Because I call every day on my way down. I've never gotten through once. I've never gotten you're number four, you're number five. I've never got anyone to answer the phone. And I can't believe these guys that actually get on twice. And then he blew it twice.
Yeah.
Killing me. Anyways, well, hey, great to talk to you guys. I'll try again tomorrow.
All right, man. Thanks for listening. KSLX.
Hey, it's my turn to give people crap for messing up on that 30-second song challenge.
Why? Did you lose it?
Yeah, I remember I couldn't get one song right, and guess what the song was?
What was it?
Don't Stop Believing.
Oh, nice!
You gave me crap about that?
What's your name?
I got seven of those songs right today at home. I couldn't believe it. I go, man, if this guy misses this, he's an idiot.
Well, congratulations. You guys are two of a kind.
But he made me feel good about myself today.
That's great.
You know what? If we can bring joy to your life, that's all we're here for.
You guys just did that. I go, man, this guy's more of a fool than I am.
You know you're in trouble when you're being clowned by a member of the Not Even One Club.
Not Even One Club, man. I feel good about it. But I'm going to redeem myself later this week, so I'm gonna hit that.
All right. Good luck, man. Appreciate you listening.
All righty. See ya.
All right. Well, let's get into the dumbass of the day, shall we?
Sure, yeah. There's dumbassery all around us, and boy, man, people are punching their steering wheels right now. I can tell.
All right, so...
That's Dumbass of the Day time. Mark and Neanderthal's Dumbass of the Day, where we celebrate stupidity.
And you'll check it out at the Mark and Neanderthal Facebook page. Brittany Sharp isn't.
Okay, then.
25-year-old Brittany Sharp is our girl today from Fort Myers in Florida. So because she was hammered, Brittany was driving so poorly on the highway that another car with three women in it called police with her license plate. And not only that, but one of the women in this other car started streaming Brittany's driving on Facebook Live.
Is that legal?
I think it is.
Okay. I thought she was like a private citizen. I'm not sure.
I don't know. All right. Well, for 9 minutes, viewers were treated to Brittany weaving, straddling lane lines, just missing other cars, hitting a bridge wall, all kinds of stuff.
Okay.
At one point, Brittany came to a complete stop in the center lane on the highway. So this caused the car that was following her and filming her to have to pass around her and then get in front of her.
That's a lot of camera work.
And Brittany then responded by rear-ending that car.
Oops.
So she rear-ended the witnesses and the people who were filming her.
You know what? Serves them right for intruding on her personal life.
Police finally got her pulled over. Brittany's been charged with driving under the influence, driving under the influence causing property damage, driving with a suspended license, driving without insurance, and careless driving. The careless driving, that's the cruelest cut of all.
The aristocrats.
Oh, my God. Brittany Sharp. If you're going to do anything, don't run into the person who's witnessed your poor driving.
Mm-hmm.
She is the Mark and Neanderthal Dumbass of the Day.
I think that's a beautiful story you just told.
Mark and Neanderthal.
Good morning.
Listen to Mark and Neanderthal when you get to work with the free KSLX app.
100.7 KSLX.